And welcome to the Half Guarded Hour. I'm your co-host Dan Ford. How you doing, Dan?
I'm living.
We're not intentionally kind of liking the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, it's working out this way. Like, last week you had work stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The couple weeks ago I had work stuff. Like, it's just, some of it is just work. Like, we're both busy, hardworking men.
Yeah.
With families to feed, I think.
Well, Dan, though, in case one of us goes out next week, I do have a guy who come in, co-host with one of us. I think he's here. We'll give him a second. He's trying to get through the door.
He's that fat, huh?
He's pretty fat. Well, hopefully he'll be here, man, but I want to talk about what's going on. Some NBA free agents that we didn't get to cover last week.
Sure.
Yeah. So
I mean, nothing really major happened.
No,
right?
Let's start with the big one. Doug McDermott to Indiana. Good move.
Can we, like, raise a toast to all the people?
Oh, whoa,
like
whoa,
myself?
Whoa, hang on! Dan, it is our special new temporary co-host, formerly known as Big T, and Ahmed Johnson. That's right, Ahmed Johnson. How you doing, Ahmed?
You literally were playing the Gangrel theme
It was Ahmed accident. I'm sorry about that, Dan!
Why are you yelling at me, Ahmed? You sound like you're a hairless.
It's gonna be a world peace. I can tell you about LeBron. All right, oh man.
Great googly moogly.
The bowl of cheese over there. Okay, he's a bowl of cheese in my kitchen. So if one of us is out next couple of weeks, Dan.
Well, yeah, you got him on speaker.
And maybe a week or so to impression. I've been working on that for 3 weeks, Dan, and I can't do it. You can't replicate.
Well, it's one of those things where you start to do it, and then you realize, huh, this is kind of racist.
Well, it's not even racist, though. Like, a dog bark is my thing. And I don't think that's racist to compare black people to dogs. White people love dogs.
Yeah, if only white people treated black lives the same as they did dog lives.
Dogs lives. But Dan,
the one thing that will cause us to take guns away from police officers is if they can do shooting people's
dogs. Can't shoot. Unless it's a pit bull, because all pit bulls breed to have. They're all violent. Don't show me the story. Oh, this saved a baby. It was probably trying to eat.
This is the most white supremacist you've ever been in your
life. Well, I'm against pit bulls. So, and I don't. If that makes me, so be it.
This is how it started for Bill Maher.
Welcome
I'm
to
just saying.
Was he against as well?
I'm just saying. This is the same step that Bill Maher took. Like, I'm not racist. I just hate Hezbollah. And then pretty soon, you know,
I just don't.
He's talking about how, you know,
I enjoy
Muslims have like 5 brain cells.
I enjoy worldwide entertainer Pitbull, worldwide entertainer and entrepreneur, just not the breed of dog Pitbull.
Mm.
How many Pitbulls kill like more than anything else?
Oh, not many. Yeah. I think you're maybe overstating this.
More Pitbulls kill infants every year than Sid.
Does Sid still exist? Or is that like a thing?
Sid's is just like when a baby like rolls and can't breathe.
I feel like SIDS is also one of those like made up diseases where it's just like, well, we don't really know what killed your kid, so we'll just call it.
Well, SIDS, I always thought SIDS like, you know, like when you hear like a rock star died, it's like they threw up, passed out on their. I assume that's just what SIDS is.
So you're saying it's death by misadventure?
Yeah, like, well, babies just are throwing up all the time, but they don't, maybe they can't roll over, and then they throw up, and then they choke on their own body.
The worst way to die.
Yeah. What a way to kick off. Speaking of choking on your own vomit, let's move to the big news. And that's our boys, England, in their way. We'll know by the time this podcast won. But I think we're getting England-France in the World Cup final day. How hyped are the Old West this rivalry?
Who is it again? England versus who?
Well, if England gets past Croatia, which they will, it'll be England-France in the finals. I mean, this is like if Alabama.
Well, the thing about the English is that they are is a bunch of friends. I haven't forgotten 66. I don't know about you.
But who are you rooting for, though? Are you rooting for England to take out France or France to take out England?
Well, it would just be very funny for Brexit to go down in flames and England get humiliated by France like, all at the
I
same time.
I think England wins the World Cup. The absolute boy Jeremy Corbyn gets another big win here with the whole conservative government collapsing.
It is extremely funny.
And how great would that be for national pride? Because the absolute boy could say, hey, we labor. We're like this English. We were the underdog.
Well, like the English team, we are united and together.
Ooh,
unlike the Tories who like literally spent 2 years like putting off coming up with a Brexit policy. And then the week they finally do, their party implodes, which is very funny to me.
That, like, it's as a bummer as, like, American politics, man. Like, Britain politics coming back, being the big hit of the summer, big fan of that.
it's just so funny to me, like, how fucking terrible they're, like, I just can't get over it.
Like, Brexit might not happen now, right, even, right?
Like, yeah, it's genuinely in danger now because, yeah. Like, the, like,
because their plan short, was like, oh, we're just like, gonna short, fuck over your health, and everyone's like, oh, well, no.
Short little update, like, over the weekend, Theresa May finally revealed what her plan for Brexit was going to be, like her planned negotiations, and a bunch of hardline pro-Brexit members of her cabinet abruptly resigned and wrote letters saying how her plan isn't really Brexit. It's a shitty, like, 80%, like, Brexit light, which, yeah. To be fair, they are right. It is a shitty plan.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on the one side, you have the idea of, like, well, let's just call this whole thing off. And that has the fewest economic. That has the smallest downside economic. Like, if you remain in the EU, basically all that happens will never win another EU vote for at least a few years because everyone's still pissed at you.
Yeah.
For wasting everybody's time with this horseshit.
Yeah.
If you leave the EU and you do the hard Brexit, it will absolutely crash the English economy. But there's a chance that after enough years of shitty economy that, especially if the EU continues to, like, fall apart after leaves,
yeah.
Then you can sort of set up new trade deals with various European
countries. Yeah, and if, even attacking from a left perspective, the economy falls, like, you don't want that, but that helps you, because then we're kind of like, oh, fuck these stinking assholes.
Well, no, what happens is that they didn't have any to cut the NHS and all these things that conservatives have always hated but never had the political votes.
I don't think they would have the votes to cut it.
That's their argument. That's if you're members of the far right party, your belief is that things will be so bad economically that they'll have no choice but to let us cut it, which is what they're aiming for.
I think, though, they would end up cutting your stuff. I think you would just end up seeing higher taxes.
I think it'll be like America, which cut everything that helps normal people.
We can't let that happen.
And then on but then you have Theresa May, which is like, well, we'll leave the EU, so we won't have any voting power on any, but we're still going to remain in all of these, like courts,
yeah.
And we're still going to maintain, like, all these EU rules.
Yeah.
So that we can,
would they still accept euros?
Customs market. Yeah, like, we're going to accept all of this EU stuff, but not be in a vote, which I think Boris Johnson, who is a moron, did correctly state, well, you just described what it's like to be a colony. You have to abide by someone's rules, but you don't get to vote on what those rules are. That's literally what a colony is.
Yeah. So,
like, Theresa May's plan is, like, the dumbest thing in the world.
What's the plan? What's the absolute Jeremy Corbyn, our boy?
He refuses to really stake out any real position on Brexit.
Which is probably which the I think move, is, though.
He's trying to be cagey. Like, he's trying to slip in and, like, when Theresa May's government falters, he can then say, well, I tried to make the Brexit thing happen, did win the vote, but he's bungled the negotiations so bad, I can't make it work for staying in the EU.
And then he can go and point to the healthcare stuff, and we gotta do this.
Yeah. I think his point is, like, to not stake out and, like, vote for me and I will keep us in the EU, because that's not that popular, despite what, like, people who write for The Guardian want to tell you.
Yeah.
It's not that popular to remain in the EU. Like, it's a 50-50 down the middle vote.
Yeah.
I think his thing is he wants to set it up to where it's like, hey, I can't leave the EU because she fucked this up so bad.
Yeah.
Which I think many people in England would be like, yeah, I buy that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's true. So I think that's the move to do. But he has
And I think it's made, like, fucking shithead libs extremely mad in England, because they think the only thing anybody cares about is, like, they can't get it through their heads that there's a lot of people, especially on the left-wing side, who don't give a shit about the EU one way or the other, because the countries in charge of the EU are all shithead, banker-run assholes who broke the world economy, and it's not like, oh, Germany, I love you so much. Fuck you, Germany, you're shit.
Yeah. I mean, they're just regular working Joes. I mean, it's like, even some hardcore, you know, you can even fund some leftists in the South or whatever, who aren't big fans of the Fed, necessarily, you know?
It's a parallel to, like, how America's screaming about, like, Russia and Mueller, where it's like, you're not wrong, he probably did something illegal, but, like, that's not a message.
Who cares?
Because, like, nobody, no average working who is willing to vote Democrat is like, oh man, I love the guy.
Yeah.
God, please defend the FBI. Don't let them make fun of the FBI. I will vote for any party that defends the honor of the men of the men in black who come and tear up my liquor deals.
Yeah. So, but I think that's World Cup talk. So
yeah, that's World Cup talk.
People ask, I said, why aren't you talking about the World Cup? Well, there you go. There's your World Cup talk. Oh, in France, being run by the white nationalist. So really, whether it was Le Pen or Marcon, they both get
that. Oh, you mean the choice between a neoliberal and a white supremacist is a choice between the same ideology with friendlier face
essentially,
or a meaner
yeah,
face?
Yeah. So there you go. So that's our report on England and France.
Have you heard about what Soros has said needs to happen?
Who? George Soros? The guy funding us to talk about this?
Soros thinks that the only thing to save the European Union dying. It probably will die. The euro will definitely die. And the only thing that's going to save Europe is like a major multinational bailout of Africa. That like Europe just sets up like a Marshall Plan like America did in post-World War II Europe to just like build African countries up and just spend billions and billions of dollars so that like people don't want to move out of it. Like try to make Africa a stable, safe place so that people don't want to migrate en masse.
Yeah, I don't mind that. As long as George Soros isn't in charge. I mean, as long as he...
George Soros is also the... Also, I think he might be a little bit... what's the word there? Like, where you're looking after your own interests and not necessarily being honest? Because, like, the big thing that George Soros made all of his money off of was currency trading in Europe. And, you know, there hasn't been much of that ever since the euro came out. So I think that might be a bit of wish casting about the
Well, I do think, though, like stabilizing regions where refugees are coming from might be a fun way to solve some issues we're having. And even here in America, like maybe if we did a little bit more work to maybe stabilize Guatemala and some other areas.
What? You mean like America doing something to help Latin America instead of just like funding a bunch of drug gangs with our horrible drug addicts?
Hey, and don't forget helping out great companies, Chiquita, Coca-Cola, and various other corporations and star right-wing dictatorships. Don't forget about
that. You mean like we shouldn't do that?
Yeah. Maybe if we didn't do that, those places, fun places to live. And you know what? And maybe Coca-Cola made a little less money.
I don't know. It seems to me like Coca-Cola should be able to charge peasants $100 for a glass of water. That seems to me like the best way. Yeah.
So
to
maybe,
make things go.
So you know what? If you're listening to this cast, you want to build the wall. Well, hey, how about instead of taking the money to build the wall, we build up some affordable housing? How about we help build a social safety
That sounds pretty commie to me.
Well, hey, let them be. We don't have to. And then people love, you say people love free stuff. We'll just run and be commie. How many Cubans really came over here? Not that many.
Well, there was like a there was like boats full of like
boat,
criminals.
But like what? Like how many? 10? Maybe 100?
I mean, there was a few. Yeah.
But not like a ton.
I mean, less than a bushel.
I bet less.
More than a barrel.
Less that are coming from Guatemala, Mexico combined. Are those bigger places? Yes, but still. So,
I don't trust Cubans because their food's not spicy. There, I said it.
I like a nice Cuban. You can't beat like a nice ham and breast.
I'm not a big fan of the pickle. You keep that pickle.
Putting the pickle in. Big fan? I like the spice. Appreciate that.
Needs more spice.
They were the first. That's how you know they were. That's Jacob Barr was just wasabi, no thanks. Pepper. Put some more.
Just give me some black pepper and salt.
Yeah. Sir, put more raisins to that. I don't know how to transition it besides. No, the NBA, so put an analogy in. We'll edit one. But let's talk the big news, Dan. LeBron to the Lakers. But I don't think LeBron going to the Lakers is the biggest part of that. But I want to get what you think first.
I just can't. The only thing that's thrown me, the two biggest things, and obviously there's so much of it. That they basically spent like a year preparing people for this end. So it's not like the biggest shock that ever happened. But to me, the biggest two reasons that I still can't believe he did it is that, again, LeBron is signing up to play for a team management has not proven they know how to, which I don't think any star player has willingly put himself in that many positions like that so many times.
No,
other than
I will say, to be fair,
in any sport, like a guy who's jumped teams that many times and consistently chooses to play for people who don't seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah. I will say that I like the moves the Lakers in the past 2-3 years. They've drafted pretty damn well. And
have they? They won like 30 games.
Well, I mean, the guys are all
Lonzo.
Like
I don't think Lonzo Ball can play that.
But
well.
Not long.
I think
but
Lonzo
they,
Ball
well,
is
Kyle
a ninth.
Kuzma. You've got Kuzma. You've got Ingram's. You've got there's another name is the Greek kid.
The one who's not the good Greek kid.
But he's still good. Like there's talent there, and they're all guys.
Is he? Is there?
I mean, I think.
Dan, I mean, if they're
any
good,
watched,
shouldn't we be seeing them do something?
Like they were in the West and like weren't awful.
They won 35 games!
In the West! They have playoff team.
Who's
the 8th seed? Who did Toronto play?
I can't remember, but they would have beaten the Lakers.
I mean, they're better than Detroit.
Maybe.
I mean, I'd say they're around that level.
I think Detroit's probably better than on a neutral court.
I think an issue with L.A., though, was that Kobe Bryant contract, which wasn't signed by the... nor was Lou Baldang. That seemed to be Jeannie Buss's brother fucking... had to get out of the bar in there.
I mean, they did just sign Rajon Rondo.
Well, to one-year deals. These are tradable deals.
Why are they signing those guys to one-year deals? Why are they blowing up their caps instead of, like, trying to... get another guy with LeBron.
Because I think they said they couldn't. Paul George.
They could have before they signed a bunch of shitty players for no reason.
Well, think about it. Who? Because Paul George wanted to stay in Oklahoma.
I mean, there is that guy in San Antonio who needs to go somewhere.
They can still trade him and make. They get the Luol Deng deal. They throw the Hawks a first round pick and the money to buy out Deng. The Hawks will do that. And you can make that trade.
Oh no, if they can make that work.
They can. No, the Hawks will definitely. You'll if there's a Leonard trade and a team with a big bad contract like that, you'll the Hawks are probably Sacramento. Get in on that and take on that. So you've got some teams that can take on cap space away from them. You're going to have to pay them. You're probably willing to. But I think, Dan, the bigger thing is LeBron didn't sign up to win this year. This wasn't a one-in-one contract. He does. This is a 3-year deal with an option for a 4.
Well, you know. I mean, obviously the thing everybody's saying in L.A. is this is going to be a long they're in this thing for the long haul.
Yeah.
But I'm not overwhelmed with it. Let me just put it that way.
No, But I don't think this is a finished product.
Also, Lonzo Ball should already pack his.
But you know what? You know who I haven't heard a word from? LeBron signed the Lakers. LeVar Ball.
Yeah, because he knows he doesn't like. He knows like his son is already in a bad spot.
Yeah,
and he doesn't. Need
well,
to make
know,
it
he
worse.
Also knows his son can make a.
But he also knows like right now he's not going to.
No, I think Lonzo.
He wasn't in the letter. He wasn't in the Sports Illustrated article, the first article. You know who also wasn't in the first article published about the last time LeBron traded
who?
Team? Wiggins.
Wiggins, there you go. Well, maybe
Wiggins was conspicuously absent.
Well, maybe San Antonio.
Like a week later.
You know, maybe San Antonio has some. I think a lot of people. But if I'm LA, I'm not paying good money on a torn ACL.
Yeah, for
on
1 year
Achilles.
With a torn Achilles. Yeah.
And everyone gets mad about Boogie for going to Golden State. Golden State is literally one of the best training staff in the NBA. I mean, Silicon Valley does have a lot of bullshit, but like there is a lot of new medical tech that is useful. Golden State has you to help guys like Curry and others recover. So like, if I'm picking a team for 1 year. And regardless of the rings, let's take all the other bullshit out. I'm taking the Warriors from Boogie because he's going to give him the best chance to recover from that injury. No other training could do a better job. I think that's a bigger part in the decision than like he let on, in my
opinion. It's also a title, and you don't have to be relied on.
Yeah, well, that's the other
like,
thing.
I think that's
yeah.
a huge deal. It's like knowing that you can miss half the season and
yeah.
they'll still be
he
waiting
He doesn't have
for
to play till March. He yeah. stay with the Pelicans to come back in January. Same thing with L.A., and now he's to be a free agent next year after maybe he proves something, and we're going to see a lot more teams with a lot more cap space.
You know what the funniest thing would be is if the Warriors don't win the title, and it all becomes Boogie's fault.
Well, I wanted to see if Dwight Howard win. If they overcame Dwight Howard in the lottery, that probably would have made that.
Dwight Howard and Boogie would definitely have a fist fight.
But how awesome, though, is Dwight Howard on the Washington?
God, I can't. Like, that is the most overly dramatic drama queen team in the entirety of the NBA, and now they just got more
well, and you know what's weird?
Dramatic.
That could be it. That's a team that I think probably win the Southeast, but like might still be an eight. It's pretty wild. Although, Dan, your Hornets, your boys, did bring in. They're still your how?
You know, good move.
Is North Carolina buzzing? Tony Parker. What's the word on the street?
The word on the nobody knows this has happened.
There's no word. The word on the street is about Cam Newton.
Yeah. Somebody in the who's going to recruit the next 4-star college basketball
but
player.
Was there any other like signing that kind of shocked you? I mean, Paul George, I think, kind of
that
sense.
One surprised me more than any other. Though I'm surprised he would have stayed. I mean, there's that conspiracy theory going around that like Adam Silver said, you're not going to the Lakers. Yeah. I don't care where you go, but you're not going to the Lakers because of the tampering. And so he ended up just backing up. I can't believe Oklahoma City gave him that money. Like, I don't understand what they're
doing. Yeah, especially after breaking up the original three, but maybe that's why you don't want to upset the fan base further. Because then you...
Yeah, but you're basically bringing back a that you know isn't a top five
okay,
team.
But Dan, if you're a season...
But let's go all in
okay.
and keep...
I'm a season ticket holder, right? I bought my tickets. Am I going to renew if they let Paul George go, then talk about trading Russell Westbrook in a year or two? Or if they just keep trying to make the playoffs every year, they don't. Let's say maybe they make the Western Conference. I'm happy. And I think if you're Oklahoma City, what you did there, keeping your fans happy, you still are an untested franchise. We don't know what this franchise looked like when they rebuild. They're going to be able to do anything. So why not build some goodwill with us and say, hey, you know what? We fucked up. Now, but we're trying right now. And like,
look, we have totally ruined what could have been a dynasty through absolute incompetence.
But we're gonna bring back
like a team that isn't good enough to be within 40 points of the Warriors.
But I will say though, you're getting rid of Carmelo and add some. I can't remember who else. So like, I don't hate with the Thunder. I can say, well, you're doing all that for the second round. Like, that's a fucking great year for most. You know, like, that's the hard reality. And like, that's how you're gonna keep selling season tickets and selling jerseys and making money. So, and more importantly, building up goodwill. So in 10 years, when you do suck and you do have to rebuild, at least that fan base will remember, well, they tried.
And like, I just can't help but look at Paul George as, one, this is a guy who's never going to be the player he could have been before he broke his leg on that stanchion. And two, you will never win anything with him as your second best player. And how can you pay a guy who, at best, is a third option to a team?
But it's only three years.
It's still a lot of money for a guy who's not a good second banana.
Just saying, but like, I get it. Like, you're thinking of it. I'm thinking about it.
I don't know about the business sense of like overpaying the hell out of a guy with Paul George's skill set.
Well, you've got to keep that fan base happy, because what are you going to do if Paul George left and there's no one going to games?
I mean, they swung some crazy trades last year to get him. I don't think Sam Presti's incapable of swinging some more crazy shit.
I think he swung was when Paul George, you know, and we don't know. You know, and this is going to look better without Carmelo Anthony hogging up space. Just a hard truth to swallow, too. So I think...
Is Carmelo Anthony, like, going to go down as, like, was, like, the most disrespected?
I think for sure. Because,
like, nobody's going to remember him as a great player.
I will, Dan.
But he was really great.
I will remember him.
But he made, like, every wrong move career choice-wise.
Well, the issue, you know, I mean, I think we talked about it with LeBron in New York. Maybe saw what happened to Melo. Because, like, going to New York is probably what... Cause if he
engineering his way out of Denver. Yeah. Like, when you look... Like, him and LeBron had very... He's kind of LeBron's Clyde Drexler, whereas, like, as young players, they were constantly compared to each other. And then by the time they're going to retire, the idea that Carmelo Anthony was ever on LeBron's level is going to be, like, this laughable joke. But, like, you know, they were both on small market teams that didn't really do a good job of building around them. And they both left their teams around the same time, teams that drafted them. And Carmelo engineered his way to New York so he could be the king of New York. Without really thinking about, well, does New York know how to build a good... And LeBron engineered his way onto Pat Riley.
Well, and you ran into some issues, too, with that New York team. The Stoudemire injury and just...
Not wanting to play in a system, like wanting to play ISO ball.
But also, and but poor coach.
Well, they did have some coaches at different points. But it's like this whole top-down bad situation with the coaches. Like, the coach is allowed to coach until he makes a star mad, and then suddenly he's not allowed to be the coach anymore.
Yeah, but it's not like something, like if Melo ends up...
Yeah, LeBron tried to get, what's his face? He's still there. His name just fell out of my head. He always looks kind of greasy, their head coach.
Spoelstra.
Yeah. He tried to get Spoelstra fired, and Pat Riley just said, nah.
Yeah.
You're not
my guy.
We're sticking with Spoelstra.
And swallow that pill. But you know what? It was, we won two titles with here. Like, you win two titles, you're good for...
Absolutely.
Like, you think, like, Pistons fans are still pretty happy about it. Besides George LeBron, your boy Chris Paul getting paid.
Sure. As he deserves.
Nothing else. I guess, like, maybe Bulls matching that Zach LaVine law offer. Maybe I had to.
I don't know what Chicago's ever doing. Like, nothing they do ever makes sense to me.
Because the weird thing is, like, so that Butler trade, but, like, realistically, he's probably the third best player.
I just never know what they're trying to do in Chicago. Because it seems like they never really want to blow it up, but they never really want to go for it. Like, they're not willing to spend the money to just, like, all right, we're going to clear, you know, going to go out and get, like, 15 free agents. Like, we're going to try to get LeBron and Kawhi. We're just going to load up and make it work. Like, their idea was, like, let's get Dwayne Wade when he's totally washed up. Like, they're never willing to spend the money to go, like, say what you want about Gilbert and how he is, but by God, he spent a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Like, he opened up the checkbook. Well, the idea of Chicago ever doing that is just laughable.
Another issue with Chicago, because what's that, like you had your guy Jimmy Butler. People hate Jimmy Butler so much that a team to Chicago between him and Rondo, and everyone sided with Rondo, who's literally like one of the most hated men in the league.
Yeah, and Rondo's a sociopath, but he's not like a coach's sucker.
Yeah, so you had that. This is what Butler you had Thibodeau, who...
Butler's a teacher.
You had Thibodeau, who no doubt, Rose had other issues. Totally ruined Dario probably, but we're playing him.
And has never won a meaningful game in his career.
No.
But hey, if you want to win a bunch of regular season games in 2009, Tom Thibodeau's your guy.
Or this year, and like, you Wolves fans defend this guy, and you know...
You're never winning anything with this guy as your coach,
and
right?
And I'm watching it kind of fall apart now. You have Butler, doesn't like Towns. And my thing is, like, I don't know who would take, because these guys aren't really guys who are going to do a title. As good as Towns is, the way the NBA is now is really good enough. Be a guy, I think, that would help you win a champion at a high level. Clearly, yeah. Wiggins is a bust.
Oh, who called that? I can't remember.
Yeah. But, Dan,
I just want to say there's a guy out in L.A. with a silver beard and two kids who just... Green bloody murder. A certain North Carolinian man told him that Andrew Wiggins was going to be shit. He didn't believe him. He didn't believe him. But here I am.
I want to talk about this before we move on to a movie room. I want to talk about this. What's up next for your boy Kevin Love? Is he just going to be the...
I just hope he finds, like, a nice home.
Well, I just want
Kevin Love to end up in a place where, like, they don't treat him like shit and they let him, like, a player.
Yeah. Well,
instead
like,
of, like... Hey, shut up, Kevin. Stand in the corner and shoot threes.
Like, yeah. Well, like, I look at a team like Portland. He's, like, trying to compete. Maybe Portland should blow it up, but it's not like the Lakers. And the Spurs are definitely on the way down. Minnesota might be, too. So if you're Portland, you want to keep making the playoffs. Maybe there's a way you can package something, get rid of some of those bad contracts for Love, and, like, give them a bunch of draft picks.
Kevin Love to Toronto. They need to get some ball moves going.
Well, he is. Well, my thing with Love, though, he is from quite the homecoming.
Yeah, I want to see Kevin Love in the East, being the lead player on.
Because, hey,
somebody's got to win that shooting conference. And, like, if Minnesota Timberwolves, Kevin Love, like, if he pulled that out of storage, that version of Kevin Love could carry a T-shirt conference finals at this stage.
Or what are you throwing him on my...
Like, what's Miami?
That's what I'm saying. If I'm Miami, Kevin Love, you put Kevin Love next to the young kid, Bam, you're going to give up some guys, obviously. But yeah, but like the problem with Miami is they have no... So I don't know how you make that to get Russ. Kevin. But maybe Cleveland just fuck it. And I'd rather just...
Maybe some racist, like, looks over and just is like, hey, we got to get Kevin Love on our team. Let's trade everything to get him. Maybe. Just say it. I want Kevin Love to play on a good team at some point.
Looking at it now, they've tried to trade Hassan Whiteside, who I think is a free agent this year. Maybe Cleveland bites. Get the money off the books.
Kevin Love's better than Hassan Whiteside.
Oh, well, I think Miami's got a kid. First name's Bam. I can't remember. I'm sorry. He's a rookie last year. Looks like he could essentially. He does. Let's go with him. Him and Love. And just be a hard, gritty to the playoffs. And this East, maybe make the...
Yeah, I mean, you can be Boston. Gordon Hayward's out here, like, getting pissed off that his wife's not going to be pregnant with...
Yeah, Gordon Hayward, Magachai. Well, but you know what, like, the big storyline, though, I really am in. If that Celtics team does gel right, I think that's a team that can compete. That's a really good team.
I'm not sure.
I think they're coached well enough to kind of overshoot. I'm saying where at least Golden State would have to be strong at. Similar maybe to Philadelphia. I mean, Simmons is going to provide issue. But, I mean, if Philadelphia can do something for Leonard, tell me Leonard Simmons isn't pretty deadly in the playoffs. And then Milwaukee, there I've seen him firsthand with my Hawks. He's a really good coach. He's good at finding roles and having a system. Not so great sometimes in games and with defensive stuff, but he's got probably the best player in the East on this. Milwaukee could be a team that makes a run to the finals. I'm really interested to see who's going to step up now. Like, who's going to be the next big dog to step up? The biggest is left the yard. You know?
Mm. I mean, somebody's got to. Finally, will Toronto do it? Or will Toronto get a number one seed and they get beaten? Like the first year that there's no LeBron, they just have a complete mental breakdown.
Yes. So just didn't make the play. Oh, but another team, Indiana Pacers, I think have made some great moves in the offseason. Oladipo looks like a real superstar. That's a team that could make a run to the final. You know, like, people are saying, well, the East is going to suck, but the fucking playoffs are going to, I don't know, anybody. It's probably Boston, but it could be anybody. I think the East is going to be really interesting to watch. So
I agree.
And so will the West. So yeah, are you ready to get in though? Movie review?
I'm not ready to go in. I'm ready to do what the great songwriter Jim Steinman was once described.
Steinman, your writing style, your songs you write, they're too bombastic. They're too detached from reality. Everything you write is just so crazy and over. And Jim Steinman responded saying, you know, how can you get mad at somebody for wanting to go over the top? Mm. You'll never see the other side if you don't go over the top. And that's why we reviewed Over the Top.
I'll be honest. First half of this movie, I watched, very drunk. I think I was doing shots of vodka. Don't remember much, but I'm pretty sure the first half of the movie is about family court and dying.
Absolutely.
I know the kid, though, was at military school, which gave him secret agents.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Did you know people that sent to military school?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Did you know people who got sent to military school as a kid, like when you were growing up?
No, we played one in a football game and got beat to seven.
like the world's biggest. I mean, obviously, they went up in military school because they were fucked up.
Yeah.
And their parents were hoping, like, having to do calisthenics somehow make them, like, less of a rapist.
Because they had a book about, you know, militaries ever. But yeah, like the if you were like a kid and you're in military school, you would not have secret agent skills. You would just be like a jerk off,
yeah,
constantly.
And like
and your dad would like want to
probably like for being a raped, especially. But yeah, kid military school turns out to be what, Sylvester's son that he hadn't seen ever.
I mean, yeah, you know, family court has done horrible crimes to the men of America. They've ripped their families from them. And you know, this is a movie all about reuniting
fathers
who've been robbed with their rightful progeny.
But not from the mother, though. The mother's father.
Right. Well, sure. I mean, the guilt of what she'd done to her husband caused her to die prematurely.
Did they explain what she...
I think it was cancer, wasn't it?
I would just...
Like, a nice, like, moderate disease that, like, no one group of people gets more than others.
Yeah. Well, like, but cancer, but, like, clearly with chemo or cancer where, like, you still have all of your hair and you...
Basically, you just, like, turn to your left, turn to your right.
Yeah.
And cough.
Yeah,
and
so Stallone doing fine. Goes to pick up the kid from military school, runs into some trouble with the dean. Dean's like, no, this is your pops. He's coming with you. The grandfather gets upset. Then we get our first father-son bonding in the big room.
Yeah, that's the only thing we left out. I mean, everybody knows this movie is about arm wrestling.
Yeah.
Because we've all seen the clips of Sylvester Stallone slowly turning his hat around to prepare himself to arm wrestle.
Well, as he explains later in the movie, he gets it becomes a machine, that hat.
Sure. Yeah, it's like the blast.
Yeah.
He just hears that glass break and bang. Mm-hmm. But this is also a movie about truckers,
mm-hmm.
which it's... There's so much about this movie. Take a chance to talk about that after we get the plot, because it was done by Canon Films.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, you're like, I don't understand. Well,
the schlock movies, like, these were the kings of schlocky B-movies. And this was going to be, like, their big grown-up Hollywood blockbuster. But they're, like, such bizarre movie about, you know, how great a trucker is. That would have been... That was a big thing in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like trucker heroes. Yeah. Like Conroy, or Convoy, and Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
Like those were big hit movies.
Ice Road Loaded Trucking, up
in
yeah.
We're going to do what they say can. People love truckers in the 70s. Then by the time we get to the 80s and the CB craze has ended, like, and people have realized that those
truckers are like sociopaths who spend 21 hours a day, like, cooped up all by themselves, and all they really is hire prostitutes and, like, creep on teenage girls.
Yeah, truckers
girls.
Had gone from hero. Well, they'd live long enough to actually.
And so the idea of, like, oh, yeah, it's totally normal for a 12-year-old boy to spend a bunch of time with a sociopathic trucker. That's exactly what's going to lead to him being normal. And not, you know, it's not going to end up with, like, his dad paying a lot less. Fucking 12-year-old bullshit.
Yeah. Or he sells his son to sex slavery.
Fucking human traffickers.
Yeah, for like meth.
So he could get another hit of trucker speed. Yeah. Like, which is absolutely what would happen with actual truckers.
Yeah. But anyway, father and son, they're bonding, they're kind of fighting. Stallone, what, he lets his son drive the truck? Somehow a 12-year-old boy knew how to drive.
Well, I don't know about you. Like, didn't your parents let you drive their car when you were four?
Yeah, but like not like an 18.
Well, if you adjust, like if you let a 4-year-old drive a sedan, that's kind of the same as letting a 12-year-old drive an 18-wheeler.
No, there's so much more involved. There are gears and there's shifting and there's cluck. There are things I don't.
You saying you couldn't be a gear jammer?
Could not that time.
George Thorogood's own gear jammer, his biggest hit. I don't care what anybody says.
not bad. No, I would not know what
to do. It's definitely geared
for. But this kid, just no issues driving. That's what I thought, maybe.
This may not be a document. I thought it was.
Anyway, they kind of have this father-son bonding moment. Then there's like an argument about letters. Stallone said he's the son and never seen these letters. Fucking dad. But then they go to a truck stop. Do you remember this?
Nah, it's a great scene.
This is when we first see what's really going on. And so he gets challenged to an arm wrestling.
Obviously that, I mean, sure.
Yeah.
That's a thing that happens all the time, right?
Like, yeah.
Don't you remember being a kid, being with your dad, and you stop at a roadside restaurant, and then some guy would challenge him to an arm wrestling match, as is customary?
Challenges to arm wrestling. Stallone wins. This kid's like, whoa, this dad I've never seen before in my life. Kind of a badass. We get even more bonding. I think, a few scenes later, they stop at an arcade of some sorts? And then,
sure, it's the 80s.
Yeah.
Arcades are huge.
Arcade, and then Stallone has
actually, at this point, arcades are dead. They were really popular, like...
So then I think on a pinball machine, Stallone makes the son arm wrestle local. Does the son win?
I'm pretty sure.
Something, son wins, everything's looking cool. Stallone gets a phone call from his dying, you know, things are going great with Billy. Just arm wrestled on a pinball machine, he won, we're really bonding. Then the son gets kidnapped by the E-Brand.
I mean, possession is 9/10 of the... And you have custody.
You have them.
That is what every guy who's lost it...
Well, and then Stallone chases him. He ends up in jail. The cops are just cool with him taking the son, right?
Sure. Like, the cops understand. They've been to family court. They're all cops.
They say the mother, his father, he's rich, so the kid.
That actually is pretty American. Like, oh, yeah, which family...
And I believe... Who played Robert Loggia?
Robert Loggia.
Loggia played the villain. You may remember him from such films as Big, Independence Day, and...
Robert Loggia is a fucking...
Scarface.
He was also in... he was a very memorable character in The Sopranos.
So, this is... once again, I was very drunk during this part of the movie, but I think Stallone has to get a certain amount of money back.
I believe.
He heads to a big... And this is when the sports... To me, this is when the movie got good. This is when the sports start happened. Stallone sells this big rig, does everything but the top of the what? Put all the money on him. And Dan, how awesome.
You know, it's just, when I think of how to settle a family court situation, it's always very important that you bust out arms.
Yes.
That's how you deal with these problems.
But we had some cameos, some wrestling men in these arm wrestling parts, correct?
Sure, like, you know, of a longtime Sylvester Stallone collaborators like Terry Funk, mm-hmm. You know, they need to get their SAG cards renewed. And also, you know, Scott Norton, he's just debuting. Let's get him in here.
Rick Zumwalt, who I thought was a wrestler, actually the world champion.
That was a big thing with Stallone, is he liked to get, like, real people from whatever thing he was doing. I thought he was putting out worth of shit. But, like, oh, we'll make it authentic. Like,
yeah.
There's been people who talked about how, like, Sylvester Stallone has a hard time dealing with the fact, like, of, like, grasping the idea that the sports he does in movies aren't real.
Yeah.
Like, there's been people who talk.
Stallone likes to hang out with fighters, boxers, and MMA guys, and he'll sit there and, like, they'll be telling stories about, you know, hey, you know, I was really hurt bad. I had a concussion, but... You know, I double-legged a guy, got him down on the ground, was able to pound him out for the
win. Yeah.
And then Sylvester Stallone will go, well, you know, I was fighting Apollo Creed, and, like, he hit me with, like, three jabs in a row. And then I just sort of slipped him and hit him with a left hook.
And it's like, he talks about it like he really did those things, and not like, oh, that was a...
He might have the same brain disease Trump has, because, like, Trump did think that Robert De Niro got CTE from filming The Raging Bull. Maybe Sylvester Stallone...
Stallone just thinks everything, you know, he's in is real.
It's like, yeah, you know, I freed those POWs in Vietnam. Like, yeah. It was a big deal.
But yeah, Stallone...
I threw Mama from the train. I can't remember if he did that.
But Stallone, though, has to go to the final. I think my favorite part, Dan, were the individual interviews with each of the characters. You remember some of these guys?
You gotta build up personality pieces, obviously.
Yeah. We need to know who these guys are. There's the black guy who got mad when he lost.
Sure, that's how all those people are.
You had the crazy man who drank oil before each arm wrestling match. Seems like a bad strategy.
I think that was Terry Funk telling. That is a real story of something Wahoo McBeth in college at Oklahoma University.
Uh-huh.
He got a bet from his football teammates that they bet him that he couldn't run a marathon. Like, he couldn't run 26 miles. And then he did it. And then they bet him double or nothing that he couldn't run
26 miles the other way after drinking a quart of motor oil. And so he then drank a quart of motor oil and then ran 26 miles back. Because why don't we get
yeah. But that just felt like, because I know that story from wrestling, that just felt like Terry Funk going, yeah, I'll make him drink motor oil.
Yeah. Guy drinks motor oil, loses. The big bad, I think, is Rick. He's pounding through everybody. Stallone.
Not the most, like, physically, like, especially the 80s action movies, like, everybody was all roidy looking. The villain in this movie looked more puffy.
But the villain in this movie, like, he was, like, this was, like, a big.
Everybody. Sylvester Stallone is 5'3". Like, everybody would kick his ass.
Even, let's say, like, so shredded like that. I mean, this guy was a goddamn host.
I'm saying 2 9-year-olds, like, balanced on each other's shoulders could whip Sylvester Stallone.
But anyway, yeah, Stallone's
in a trench coat with a stick.
But as Stallone is going through this tournament, his son back. His son finds the letter still to him. I guess his mom had hit him for all these. Or his grandfather
was it his mom or his evil granddad?
I'm not. It was in a purse. Kind of confused by the whole thing. He finds him, reads him. This is his military school to escape his grandfather's mansion. He steals a car. And then
that sounds right.
And then, like, somehow flies to Vegas. They never show him on the plane, but they show him just getting out of the part with the luggage receiving attorney thing.
Check bag.
Check the baggage. So, crawling out of that, so that's how we travel. That's how travel works. Go in the baggage.
Which absolutely check. Wouldn't kill you.
Yeah. Crawls out of that, gets the truck, drives to Vegas. The ballet guy is, where do you want me to park? And then runs in. Gives his dad the big motivating. So his dad goes against the big bad. Stallone overcomes him, and I believe a 5-minute arm wrestling
match? Like, have you ever seen, like, professional arm wrestling?
Yeah, it's, even in the movie, the matches were over like that. Snap, you know?
Like, professional arm wrestling, if the thing goes, like, a minute, it's like, ooh, what a battle.
Yeah.
But like the Rocky, you know, arm wrestling match, you know, that means.
Yeah, this. I think I did time. I think this thing went over, and it wasn't even like ever 5 minutes of men struggling, strapped together, arm wrestling each other. Justice looked like Stallone was about to. What's he do? He takes his hand. He goes over the top of the other hand and brings the guy down. Wins what? A brand new big rig, $150,000. The son. And I think the respect of his father.
Well, sure.
Like, if you want to impress, like, a snooty, rich guy granddad yeah. who doesn't think you are good enough to marry his daughter, well, how else are you going to do it other than by winning an arm wrestling tournament in a bar? So
in Vegas. Before Vegas, like...
Yeah, this is still when Vegas was mobbed.
Yeah, this is like 80s Vegas. So Stallone wins, his son reunites. And then I guess the son drops out called, like, what, Eagle and Son or
something? Hawk.
Hawk.
Their last name is Hawk. Their last name is literally Hawk.
Like, you cannot get more, like, cheesy 80s hero than a dude named Hawk.
What did you think about this?
I can't get over that, like, this was, like, this is like
a kidhead in Hollywood who makes, like, nothing but crappy, like, horror movies that he kickstarts. If you handed him, like, a blockbuster budget and said, hey, go make a movie with, like, a real stars in it.
Yeah.
It reminded me of an Uwe Boll movie. I think that's the closest thing I can
yeah.
say.
I thought, honestly, I watched this movie in parts, and it may be because of how it was. First part of the movie, awful. Sappy, the 80s. Second part, fucking awesome. Once they got to, like, the arm wrestling part, I was kind of intrigued. I've never this looked pretty badass. It looked 80s as fuck. You had greasy men. Guys drinking oil, steroids, you can't be smoking inside, everything you want. And Terry Funk took a bump, the last one.
Well, I mean, it's Terry fucking Funk,
yeah.
Of course he will.
I just can't get over that, like, a bunch of people thought that the big movie craze was going to be truck drivers arm running.
But okay, but you know, if you put this movie
I can't
dance,
believe it.
If I can put this movie in, like, 77, it's a classic.
If you switch Sylvester Stallone for Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, my only issue there is this. I guess Burt Reynolds was a college athlete.
Burt Reynolds was a better athlete. Burt Reynolds would kick the shit out of
Sylvester Stallone.
He wasn't as ripped. He's fucking redneck wiry. That guy will fuck you up. Don't fuck with
that movie Reynolds. With Burt Reynolds. If I, okay, but Dan, if he cast.
One, it would have been charming. Because,
yeah.
like, you would have absolutely known why Burt Reynolds didn't get custody of his kid.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have hated him for it. Whereas, like, Sylvester Stallone not getting custody of his kid, your immediate thought is, oh, man, he probably threw, like, spaghetti sauce at the wall and,
yeah.
like, traumatized everybody.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, with Burt Reynolds, you could just believe, oh, man, he just overslept them. Like,
yeah,
you know, that's just Burt.
Or, like, you know what? He threw around on his wife, wasn't ready for a kid yet. But he's trying to atone for his past. That's something I think Burt Reynolds, that makes sense.
Also, Burt Reynolds can act, and Sylvester Stallone.
That's it. That was the main issue, really, known, except like the arm.
Terry Funk is the best actor in this movie.
But Dan, if you're going to recast this, who you putting in Stallone's?
The most devout actor.
Well, I think the first guy, I think a lot of people would Dwayne The Rock.
Yeah. I mean, do you buy Dwayne The Rock Johnson driving a pickup a semi-truck? That's the big issue.
Yes. He gives that image. He's got his brand is, if that makes sense.
Well, sure. Yeah. You know, as a former pro wrestler.
So I'd see that, but Dan, I would go with the different. I would do Melissa McCarthy.
Gender
swap. Keep the son. Similar thing. Hard for her to get it. Female truck driver. And then there's female arm wrestling. I think Melissa McCarthy, I can get her. She's a big. I'm not judging. I'm saying she's her frame. I believe be good at arm wrestling. Let's go that
absolutely.
One. Gender swap. And you know what? She's pretty good. We can make a serious movie. I think it would work. It could work as a comedy.
And Kristen Wiig is like her her trainer.
Yeah, like maybe put Wiig in there or something. Evil dad. Maybe instead of like a mom, instead of an evil dad, you make like Glenn Close.
Ooh, Glenn Close. What
is it? Arm wrestling remake.
Yeah. Or like Susan Sarandon. All like the resistance moms hate her. I think that would be a thing.
I could believe she could lose her children in the divorce hearing.
No. Susan Sarandon would play the grandmother.
That would be good. Yeah.
And then you get like just like one of the kids from Stranger Things, the son or the bam. I guess remade over
made
the
it
top.
Happen.
And I'm and Wanda Sykes. You hear that Hollywood?
I mean, it works to me.
Yeah, hear that
it works.
We just made a movie.
Let's
get this done. Get the contract signed. Let's make this happen.
Let's get it going, baby.
But
yeah, I think that was over the top. I'm gonna give over the top like I'm gonna give it a 6 out of 10. And I mean that not to sound like Dylan. 7 out of 10, and that's a good.
I'm gonna give it 13 out of 4 because it's a canon movie, which means the scale don't work. Scale's broken.
Quite enjoyed that.
From the people who basically brought to you ninja movies and created like the biggest craze of the '80s with like poorly dubbed, insane, shitty movies.
Yeah,
comes Sylvester Stallone in a starring film that pretty much ended his ability to star in a movie after
this. Yeah, because movie after this was what, like, his next big hit was what, Copland?
It wasn't a hit. By
well, like, but his last joint.
I think his last hit would have been Martin Luther King.
Well, Cliffhanger.
Like, what's the movie that comes, oh, yeah, Cliffhanger. When did Cliffhanger come out?
That's like a 90s.
Man, that movie wasn't that big a hit. Well, that was a terrible movie. Terrible, terrible game of SNES. I'm bad, Blake. We might need to go home.
Yeah.
I'm not making any sense.
We are going home soon, Dan. I'm thinking, though, next week's All-Star Baseball Week.
Right.
What if we stayed at the movie?
What if?
Because I'm looking through Netflix right now, and I got a film I'd like to go back and look.
Quigley Down Under.
It's a blockbuster. It's going to be a little film called, are you ready for this, Dan?
Mr. 3000.
Better. A bit timely. We just missed it. But, you know, we're going to watch National Treasure.
Wait, National Treasure?
Yeah.
Is that the movie where Nicolas Cage steals the Constitution?
Yes.
What's that got to do with baseball?
Well, I thought I saw...
Am I having a stroke?
I was going to say today, which also is...
Well, absolutely watch a movie for this podcast that has nothing to do with sports.
Yeah.
For your entertainment.
I think that's what I'd like to do, and I think National Treasure, you could name me a movie better.
Angels in the Outfield.
We'll be watching Bucket List or National Treasure to pick our Wild Hogs.
Neither one of these are sports movies.
Okay, you pick. I got a sports Wild Hogs. But we're watching. It's the All-Star break, Dan. So you take a break.
What about
Bull Durham?
Oh, I really wanted something.
Wait.
What about Turner and
Hooch? Got it.
Turner and Hooch. Next week is what we're watching. Our National Treasure. Just watch both. Can we talk about next about that?
Oh man!
I really just want an excuse to watch
next. Let's watch next.
It's and a on sports, that note, a sports movie.
And on that note, before I completely pass out, because I at one point I just said that Sylvester Stallone did about Martin King. Because I'm losing my mind.
It was Malcolm X.
Because I'm losing my mind. We have to bid you adieu. We thank you for your continued support of our podcast. And we have to say, fuck the Queen.
Fuck the Queen. Fuck Australia. Remember to watch National Treasure for the All-Star.
And play the music, Jason.